Well, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us again this morning, especially those of you who are new with us. We would love the opportunity to connect with you, and we've created a digital connection card to do that. And so what you can do to receive that card is text the word welcome to 817-755-1668. It's 817-755-1668. You'll receive that welcome card. We'd just love to find out who you are and how we could potentially be an encouragement to you and your family. So thanks for tuning in and watching the service with us today. Today is what we refer to as Palm Sunday. It's the day that Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, kicking off the events of the Holy Week. If we were gathered together, we would likely do a song and have the kids walk in with their palm branches, kind of reenacting what took place that day. The people lined the streets. Many of them took their coats off and threw them on the ground. Others waved palm branches, and they shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." What the people were doing was recognizing Jesus as Lord and King. And for us, this is something that we shouldn't just do once a year, recognize Jesus as Lord, but we should do that every day of our lives as we surrender ourselves to him. And I think one of the greatest acts of surrender that we can have, it's certainly a visible reminder to surrender, is when we give. And we give as an act of worship to God, recognizing that everything that we have has been given to us by God. And so always in our services, we have the opportunity to receive an offering to remind us of that act of surrender. And I know in these uncertain times, there's a lot of fear. It's easy to kind of hold back. But I think God is continuing to call us when we are able to give generously with what we have. And so for those of you that are continuing to do that, thanks so much for doing that. Your generosity allows us to continue to build the kingdom. Thanks so much, too, for those of you that have dropped off items that we've been collecting to take and give to families in need in our community. The lobby is packed with stuff, and so thanks so much for doing that. Let me pray for us, and we'll jump into the message this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are. Father, I thank you for the knowledge that in the midst of the crisis that we face, in the midst of the uncertainty, you are never changing. And Father, I pray that you would help us to trust in you. As we spend some time in your word this morning, I pray that you would be our teacher and our guide. God, we need you in these moments. And so challenge us, encourage us, speak to us, and guide us today through the work of your spirit within us. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. It was mile 9, and I hit the wall. There was a time in my life where I would have liked to consider myself a runner. I never felt like I was very good at it, but I enjoyed it. I don't know if you have ever been to a race before, but you can tell how good runners are based on the length of their shorts. My shorts were always long. But Mandy and I, we used to race on a regular basis, 5Ks, 10Ks. We'd even worked ourselves up to where for several years in a row, we did at least one half marathon every year. Now that our kids are a little bit older and their weekend activities take a lot more time, we haven't been on the race circuit, if I can say it that way, for several years, but we still run to kind of stay in shape. On this particular day, I think it was my second or third half marathon, so I was still relatively inexperienced. And I'd heard about the wall. I'd read about people hitting the wall before, but in my naivety, I thought, that's not going to happen to me. I'm stronger than that. I'm better than that. But it happens, and it can happen to even the runners who wear the short shorts. And so it was about mile 9, and I hit the wall. I knew I had been slowing down for some time, wasn't running the pace that I wanted to run. When other runners would pass me, there just wasn't anything that I could do to get going faster and keep up with them. My legs felt like jello. My feet felt like I was wearing concrete shoes. And so at some point along the way, I realized that I could walk about twice as fast as I was running at that point. And it was then that I just kind of slowed to a stop. I moved off to the side of the trail, the road there, and put my hands on my knees and bent over. And I just thought, like, what am I going to do now? See, the problem was this was mile 9. I still had about 4 miles to go. And this was an out and back race. So what I mean by that is it's kind of straight out. You get halfway through, you turn around and come back. And so there was no way for me to kind of cut off a big section of the race and get back to my car within like a mile. I had 4 miles left. And whether I wanted to or not, I had to finish the course. And so I just realizing this, and I knew I was dehydrated. I was so tired, but I had to put one foot in front of the other and get going. And so what I did is I kind of broke down the remainder of the course in my mind, and I thought to myself, if I can just make it to mile 10, then I can make it to mile 12. If I can make it to mile 12, then I can make it to the finish line. If I can make it to the finish line, I can make it to the car. And if I can make it to the car, I know I'll make it home. And that's the only place that I wanted to be. Today's message was originally planned to be the last in our S-Word series. And so we kind of took a couple of weeks off from our S-Word series, but I wanted to talk about this today. If you remember back to the beginning of our S-Word series, the series on sin, we define sin as me disregarding God's instructions to do for me what I want to do for me. So often that's the way that sin manifests itself in our lives, where it's all about me. And we recognize that we struggle against sin, we struggle with sin, we struggle to not make life all about me. And we say sometimes it's okay to not be okay, and it is okay to not be okay, but what's not okay is to stay there. Because when we come to faith in Christ, God begins to do something in our lives so that he changes our hearts, so that we begin to understand that life isn't just about me, and we get back to where we are honoring and glorifying God once again. But this side of heaven, we're always going to struggle. And so maybe in the midst of the struggle, there have been times in your life where you felt like you hit the wall, where it was like you recognized this sin pattern in your life, and no matter what you do, you couldn't get past it. And it could be something that we would look at and say is serious sin, but it doesn't necessarily have to be serious sin either. Maybe it's just a struggle with your own selfishness. Or in this time of uncertainty with the coronavirus, maybe you've recognized that you struggle with fear and anxiety. And so over the last couple of weeks, you've tried saying, I'm going to trust God with this. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be anxious. But no matter what you try to do, you still recognize that you're anxious and you're worrying about things. And so in those moments, it's really easy to kind of get resigned to the fact, well, this is the way I am. This is who I am. It doesn't matter what I do. I'm always going to be this way. So why even struggle? It can feel like you hit the wall. If that's where you're at today, or if you've ever felt that way in the past, I want you to understand God wants more for you than just that. He's called you to more than just that. He's called you and put you on a path toward holiness. And that's what I want to talk about today, how to get on that path and stay on that path, to get from where we are to where God wants us to be. It's the pathway to holiness. So if you've got a Bible that's next to you, I'd invite you to turn to the book of 1 Peter. I'm going to read for us in just a second, 1 Peter 3:16. If you're watching this on your television, you can find your smartphone there next to you, and you can find our live event. You can follow on there as well. 1 Peter chapter 3 is where we're going to be, but Peter is writing to Christians who are persecuted because of their faith. And his message to Peter, or Peter's message to them is, hey, don't give up, you can keep going. And here's why. 1 Peter 3:16, 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 13, I'll read down through verse 16. It says this, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, don't be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, you can be holy in all your conduct. Since it's written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Before we talk about exactly what Peter is getting at in those verses, I want to kind of take a step back and talk about our created purpose. So if we understand what we are created to do, it will help us understand the path that God wants us to be on. So if you go back into the book of Genesis, in Genesis 1:26, we find that we are made in the image of God. All of us as human beings are made in the image of God. What that means is that all that we are is to be a reflection of all that God is. And when we're living according to the image of God, we're an accurate reflection of who God is. So we're living according to the image of God. In some ways, we could look at it and say, well, we are making God look good. But we recognize we have a sin problem. And our sin problem, in some sense, says, well, I don't really care about making God look good. I want to look good. And so as we talk about getting on this path to holiness, the path to holiness is pushing against our sin problem, and it's making life about God once again and doing all that we can to make God look good. Now, the question is, how do we get there? The first thing that we do to get on that path to holiness is have faith in future grace. That's what Peter's getting at in verse 13. He says, therefore, preparing your minds for action, so get ready to do this, be sober-minded, and set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, set your hope on the future grace that's going to come to you when Jesus comes back. It's have faith in grace that's coming in the future. Grace is the goodness of God given to people who do not deserve it. Or really, it's the goodness of God that's extended to people who deserve the exact opposite of that. Normally, when we think about the grace of God, we look back to the cross. And so oftentimes, that's what we look back to. We look back on the grace of God, and we recognize it's the graciousness of God that sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, so that by faith in Jesus, we can have a relationship with God that lasts forever. And oftentimes when we think about grace, we think about that that's where it ends. It ends in the past. And so we reflect back on the grace that God has extended to us. And certainly we should be grateful for the grace of God that he's extended to us, allowing us to have a relationship with God. But that is not where grace ends. There is such a thing as grace that's coming in the future. And in fact, we have to be really careful, because if all we do is look back on grace, what that can cause is service out of obligation and not service that's life-giving to us. We kind of do this all the time. I don't know if your family is a Christmas card family. We're not necessarily anymore. It seems like at Christmas time, that's just one more thing to do. But if you're a Christmas card family, you may have had this experience before. So you do really well this year to get all of your Christmas cards sent out by December the 15th. So you're a couple of weeks before Christmas, got everything done, you feel good about yourself, and then a few days later, maybe around the 20th, you get a Christmas card from someone that wasn't on your list. Well, how do you respond? Often it's like, well, I guess now I have to send a card, another card to this person because they weren't on my list. Or maybe when somebody invited you over to their house for dinner, what did you say on the way out the door? Oh, thanks for having us over. Next time we'll have to invite you to our house, right? We do this. Somebody's been good to us, done something for us, and so we feel obligated then to do something for them. The same thing can happen in our relationship with God. If all we do is focus on past grace, it doesn't happen all the time, but what can happen is we just get the idea, well, I guess I have to do this. Because God has done this for me, I guess I have to do this for him. I guess I have to try to be a good person. And we do that, and we lose sight of what God wants to do in us in the future, because something better is coming. And so what really motivates us to continue down that path of holiness is not so much what the grace that God has given us in the past, that we need to be thankful for that grace. What really motivates us is knowing that God is going to do something better in the future. It's that future grace that moves us down the path. But I want you to understand this, that future grace, that something better that's coming, it may not happen in this life. As Peter's writing, he's writing to some Christians who are under persecution, physical suffering because of their faith in Christ. And he's not saying, listen, guys, just hang on a couple of weeks because it'll go away and life will get better. But what he's saying is that at the end of this life, something better is coming. The future grace that's coming, when Jesus comes back, that's when you'll be able to experience life the way that it was meant to be lived. Have faith in that future grace. Years ago, there was a man in our church who, when I would ask him how he was doing, every time I asked him that question, his response would be, "Today's the greatest day of my life." As a young 20-something at the time, I thought to myself, you know what? That's a great attitude for a 90-year-old to have. That's how old he was at the time. But I was like, that ain't real. But he understood something about life that I hadn't yet grasped. He had a different perspective on life because he understood that regardless of the struggles that he faced, the challenges that he faced, maybe the health issues that he was going through, whatever it was, he understood that every day of his life took him one step closer to paradise. So much so that every day he would wake up knowing because he was one step closer to life the way that it was meant to be lived, he would say, "Today is the best day of my life." Now, how do you get there? How do you get that perspective on life? It's only by God's grace. It's the grace of God, the goodness of God at work in us that gives us that perspective on life. But how do we get on that path to holiness and continue to move down that path even in those moments where we hit the wall? We have faith in future grace. The second thing, don't be afraid to become like your Father. Look at verse 14. It says, "As obedient children, don't be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, so be holy in all you do." I'm sure that you've seen the Progressive insurance commercials. Most of the time, it's like a wife who is narrating this commercial. I remember one specifically where her husband was up in the attic, overalls on, tool belt around his waist, just pointing out all of the things that needed to be fixed in their house. And she says, "I don't know what happened, but he is becoming just like his father." Probably like most teenagers, when I was in high school, I thought to myself that I had all of life's answers and my parents were just old fuddy-duddies, and I thought, I'm never going to be like them. It's interesting, the older I get, the more that I realize I am a lot like my father, and I think, man, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Now, I know some of you don't have great fathers. Maybe some of you don't even have a father, or the thought of becoming like your father may be even repulsive to you. But I'm not talking about becoming like your earthly father. You see, when we come to faith in Christ and we're brought into the family of God, we are given a new father, a heavenly father, and it's God, our heavenly Father. We can't be afraid to become like him because he's holy. It says, "Be holy like the one who calls you is holy." And so holy is a word that's often used to refer to God. Sometimes it's used to refer to the Bible, the Holy Bible. If you've got a large family Bible in your house, maybe it says Holy Bible. Certainly, also at the same time, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is referred to as holy. And when we talk about holy in that kind of context, what we're talking about is morally pure, morally excellent. And that's what God is calling us to be. He's calling us to be morally excellent so that more and more we reflect his character. So it's God's character that is our guide on this path to holiness. It's interesting that sometimes people think that there are two different gods in the Bible, right? There's the God of the Old Testament that's oftentimes viewed as the God of wrath and judgment. And then in the New Testament, God is portrayed as a God of love. But the truth is, the Israelites in the Old Testament would never have said anything other than the fact that God is love. In Exodus, it says, the Lord, the God who is slow to anger and abounding in love. The people of God, the Israelites, would have always said that God is a God of love and a God of grace. It was a God who was slow to bring punishment on them in spite of the fact that they turned their back on him and always extended his love and his grace to them. There's another Hebrew word that is seen, it's almost a theme throughout the Old Testament. It's the word hesed. Hesed is this interesting Hebrew word that doesn't actually have a single word equivalent in the English language. And so sometimes it's translated as loyal love. But it's the loyal love of God that continued to pursue his people. In spite of their sin, God pursued them and brought them back to himself. When the enemies would attack the people of God, it was the loyal love of God that pursued them. And it's the loyal love of God that continues to pursue us in spite of our own sinfulness, in spite of those times where we disregard what God wants to do for me, what I want. It's the loyal love of God that continues to pursue us, and that loyal love transforms us so that more and more we can become like him. We can't be afraid to become like our Heavenly Father. His character is our guide in this process. And certainly as we look at the New Testament, it's Jesus who embodies the character of God for us. So if you want to know how to live in a fallen world, look at Jesus. Look at his compassion and mercy and who he extended that compassion and mercy to. Look at his selfless service for us. We can't be afraid to become like our Heavenly Father. So we to get on this path to holiness and continue down that path in spite of maybe those times where we feel like we've hit a wall, have faith in future grace, know that something better is coming. Don't be afraid to become like your Heavenly Father. And then third, recognize that holiness comes from grace and not just hard work. Growth comes by grace. So we are able to grow, and we use that language here in our church. We want people to be growing in your faith and in your understanding and in your relationships with others. Growth comes about in our lives by God's grace. It's not just hard work. So it's the graciousness of God that's at work through the Spirit of God in us that allows us to grow. Go back to that race when I hit the wall. You might be wondering, well, how was it that you finished? How could you do that? I was able to finish that race that day. I was really slow, but I was able to finish because the graciousness of the race organizers to put about 3 water stops on the way back in so that at those water stops, I could go and stop. I literally stopped, got a drink of water, got some Gatorade, and it was really that graciousness, the water, the Gatorade that I was able to get that really helped me to be able to finish the race that day. Otherwise, I don't know if I could have done it. See, it's the grace of God, not just hard work, that brings about growth in our lives. But yet at the same time, as we think about it, we can help ourselves in the process. See, think about this. I think every one of us, or most of us, a vast majority of us could do a half marathon. You could get 13.1 miles from your house. You really could do it. Without any training, you could do it. It might take you a long time. It might be really painful in the process. But with a little bit of training, with a little bit of work, it might actually be something that is enjoyable to you. So we recognize that growth comes by grace, but we can help ourselves in the process. Or we can hinder ourselves in the process too. Now, I believe in the power of the grace of God, that when we come to faith in Christ, he's going to change us and transform us. The work that God wants to do in our lives will be brought about so that in some sense, in some way, we reflect who God is. That process can either be slow and painful as we reject the work of the Spirit in us, or we can help ourselves in the process. See, it can be slow and painful if we disregard what God wants for us to do. We disregard the work of the Spirit, but God's going to bring it about. He says, the Bible says that God punishes those he loves like a father punishes or disciplines his children. So God is going to have his work carried out in us. So we can drag our feet in the process, or we can help ourselves in the process. Now, how do we do that? We do that by staying connected to God. Jesus said, "Abide in me and you will bear much fruit." Galatians says, "If you keep in step with the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And in some sense, I think those two verses are saying the same thing. As we abide in Christ, as we remain in Christ, or as we stay connected with the Holy Spirit, being obedient to do what the Spirit is calling us to do or convicting us to do on a daily basis, we will produce the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, kindness. And when we're doing those things, we're not going to fall into the sin patterns that we have. So we have to stay connected. That's why the spiritual disciplines of especially Bible study and prayer, are so important because it's those things that allow us to stay connected with God. It's that time in the presence of God, as we're spending time with God, that He transforms us. Because the truth is, it's not just about growth, it's not just about hard work, because we can't change our own hearts. That's something that only God can do. But yet at the same time, as we stay connected with God, as we're obedient to what the Spirit is doing in our lives, it's then that we say yes to God and say no to our sin, and we get better at reflecting who God is in all that we do. I know it's hard sometimes. In the midst of the struggle, you might feel like you hit a wall where you just say to yourself, well, this is who I am. I'll never get past this. But listen, if that's how you feel today, know that God is calling you to more. He wants to take you from where you are and get you to where you want to be, where He wants you to be on that path to holiness. How do you do it? Have faith in future grace. And you do everything that you can to become exactly like your Heavenly Father. And recognize the fact that something better is coming and God's grace is at work in your life, and that grace is going to produce growth. That's how you get from where you are, stuck in the rut, feeling like you can't go on anymore, to get to where God wants you to be, the pathway to holiness. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thanks again for this time, and I pray that you would challenge each of us. Help us to have faith in what is coming in the future, that future grace, knowing that something better is coming. Help us to have that perspective in life. And may your grace that's coming in the future be something that motivates us to continue down that path of holiness as we seek to become more like you in everything that we do. And God, extend grace to us and help us to be obedient to the Spirit, so that more and more we can say that life is about you and making you look good, and it's not about us and what we think we want in our own sinfulness and selfishness. So God, we are dependent upon your grace. Be at work in us on a daily basis. Help us to trust in you more each and every day. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Hey, thanks so much for joining us again this week. We look forward to gathering together again, hopefully soon. Next week, Easter Sunday, what a day it is going to be for us, even if we have to stay separated. Hey, be sure to check out our Easter service next week. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday.